There are so many beautiful stories that we could share on Mother's Day. There's so many stories from the Bible that give us pictures of beautiful love and nurture and commitment. Some of those stories are from young mothers. Some of them from older mothers. Some of them are from very well-known stories, and others are just little bits and pieces, a verse here, a verse there about motherhood that are beautiful. And we have so much to learn from all of those that teach us about the gift and giving thanks and how important it is. I've chosen today a story that I would guess not many of you, if any of you, have ever heard on a Mother's Day sermon. I want to talk about a character from the Bible that I don't think probably very many people think about on Mother's Day. They certainly probably don't think of this person as someone that they would quickly think about being a wonderful mother. My guess is that you've never heard her name associated with Mother's Day. Her name is Rahab. It might even be a little more serious of a sermon and a look at the character of a person than we usually celebrate on Mother's Day. Her story is told in the book of Joshua, chapter 2, and I want to read from there in just a couple of minutes. She lived during the time of the Israelites when they finally were coming into the land of Israel, and they were crossing the Jordan River, and there were some obstacles ahead of them, and those obstacles seemed very big. And one of them is found in this story of Rahab. Her story is associated with two spies. In fact, when you say the name Rahab, probably you think about the story of the two spies. So I want to read part of that story, chapter 2 in Joshua, reading beginning at verse 1. Listen to the story of Rahab. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent out two spies from Shittim. Go over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, and the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. So what can we learn from this character, Rahab? This lady that's mentioned in the Bible, and we don't know a lot about her, but from this passage we do know some things about her. She, like many in the Bible, many characters in the Bible, was not perfect. She, like many characters in the Bible, had a problem, had a past, had things in her life that was not very good. I say she, like so many in the Bible, and there's a truth to that, but really what I'm thinking about this morning is she, like all of us, have had things in our lives that have been difficult and challenging and at times separated us from God. For the Bible said that there's no one that's perfect and without sin. Certainly Rahab would fall into that category, but as I think about this story and I think about what we really believe, all of us are in that category. She, like so many people in the Bible, had a past, but God intervened in her life and changed it. Someone that seems unlikely maybe to be even a story in the Bible or something that we would follow, but someone that's maybe not a good candidate for a beautiful and amazing life that God would give to her is Rahab. Consider the life of Rahab. First of all, we know that she lived in the city of Jericho. She lived in the city of Jericho. Jericho was that strong walled city just across the Jordan River from which the Israelites were coming to take the land that God had promised to them. It was a big city for its day. It was a well-fortified city. It wasn't so much that it was militarily strong, it was, but also about the city, there was a lot of things about the city that was well known all around. Basically, to summarize it, it was a city full of very cruel people. And there were many descriptions that were found about the city of Jericho that we have glimpses of or clues from the scriptures. Jericho was a place that was full of evil. It might be a place like we think of the city of Nineveh when we think about the book of Jonah and Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe not to that extent, but it was in that same category as some of these other cities that we've heard of that are found especially in the Old Testament and descriptions of them. Jericho was not known to be a place that honored God at all. That means that Rahab, not only does she live in the city of Jericho, but that means that she's a Canaanite woman. And there are many descriptions in the book of Joshua and other places about the Canaanite women and the Canaanites period, that they were did not honor God, and they did evil in many places and parts, and they worshiped idols, and so many things about their cruelty that are told throughout the Old Testament. They were Canaanite. She was a Canaanite. Among those things that were said, the Canaanites were a brutal people, a sinful people, an extremely hostile people. And so the Canaanites were ones that God had said at one point that when he gave the land to the Israelites, they were to wipe out those cities. We also know about Rahab that she's described as a harlot. Here, right here in verse, or when we look early in this passage, we find this woman and she's described as a harlot. It's almost like that's her last name. When you think of Rahab, at least when I do, when I think of the story, the two spies come to mind in the description of her being a harlot. She was a prostitute. It was like it was her last name. We also know that she had a family. She had parents. She had siblings. She had nieces and nephews, and she cared about them, and she was concerned for them. It appears that she did not have a husband at the time. At least we don't know that because it doesn't say that in the passage. But we know that Rahab had a family. But there's one more thing that's the most important to me about this story of Rahab in the scripture, and that is simply that God gave her an opportunity. God gave her an opportunity. We think sometimes about how God goes ahead of us and he prepares us and he gives us opportunities to know him and to respond to him and to love him. Every single one of us that are here today in this service, wherever we're at, have had an opportunity to respond to God because God has spoken to us. God has given us his grace. Sometimes it's because we've had parents who have helped to guide us. For some people, it's been mothers, fathers, others that have given them an opportunity to hear and to see and to sense the reality of who God is. For others, maybe it's because they met a Christian who invited them, or maybe they went to a church and they've heard for a long time that there's a God in heaven. I don't know how long ago it had been that Rahab had heard about the God of Israel, but we know that somewhere along the way, and at the first that we read of this is in a context that is pretty unpleasant, but God spoke to Rahab's heart. He gave her an opportunity to respond. God gave her an opportunity. He put something in her life, a situation, something that she could hear the voice of God. And we know that Rahab responded to that. Rahab responded to the voice of God. Verse 4 says it like this. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. So she told a lie to the officials of the king that came to find these two men. She protected them. She made a decision. She made a choice. We obviously don't know the whole story, so we kind of conclude what happened. And somewhere along the way, Rachel decided that it would be wrong to turn these two men in. She knew in her heart that there was something wrong about that. Maybe it was because she was concerned for her own family. That can be a part of it. But also, it is true that she knew that it would not be right for these men to be arrested and the king to find out for them. She was beginning to respond to something that God had said to them. She had made a moral choice to do what was right. She believed that it was right to protect them, and so she did it. No matter what her character might have been, and we speculate about all that, we know that she came to this time and this point in verse 4 when Rahab did what she believed that she should do. She was responding to God. I'm pretty sure that she knew the consequences of what would happen if she was caught. I mean, I'm quite sure that if the king would have found out that she had lied and protected these two men who were spies, and all that I've heard about Jericho and the kind of people they were, they would have not taken very kindly to Rahab, maybe costing her life. Without knowing all the details, we know enough to say that she had heard about the true God. She had heard about the God of Israel who had been working miracles and had brought the people, this great mass of people out of slavery of Egypt and watching over them and protecting them. And while they're in the desert working these great miracles, she knew that they were coming up toward the land of where Jericho was. And they had heard about this God. She had heard about this God. And she had been thinking about, is this the true God or not? And so she comes to the conclusion that as she listens and as she hears the stories that truly the Israelites worship the only true God. And so in the depths of her spirit and her soul, she responds and she protects the spies. She had heard about the power of God. She had heard that God was very powerful. She had also heard that God had protected his people. She had heard the stories about against all odds, God had preserved the Israelite people from the enemies around them. And she had embraced the truth of God. Verse 11 says it like this. It says, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. This to me is the key verse of this passage and of the story of Rahab. She comes to the place where she says, yes, the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. She makes that decision in her heart, a decision of faith. When we make that decision of faith of who God is, then that opens the door to our relationship with him. He's already calling to us. He's already giving us opportunities. I don't think there's anybody that would hear my voice today that would not say, I have heard and I know that there's a God in heaven that speaks to me. But we must make a decision, a choice of faith to accept him and to embrace him, to believe in him, and to put our trust in him. I've often thought of that illustration I heard a long time ago, and for me it is very helpful and instructive. It's the illustration of a chair. I'm kind of going to get out of my circle right here for a minute and bring this chair somewhere. I don't know if I can get it in the camera somewhere. I don't know. I didn't tell our guys we were going to do that, so it'd be better over here. It'd just be better that I stop moving, probably. Anyway. Oh, man. Just go back to where I was, huh? Okay, thank you. This is a chair. We all know that. Now, I believe that this chair will hold me up if I sit down in it. I really believe that. But just believing that doesn't help me for that chair to do what it's designed to do. I can believe it'll hold me up, but until I sit down in it and I put my confidence in it, I mean, not just touch it a little bit, you know, and that's kind of like faith is for some people. oh, they have a little bit of faith, and maybe they believe some things about God. You know, maybe God's real, and maybe there's something about eternity, and yeah, that Jesus story, it's a good story, but I don't know that I really believe it. Until you come to the place that you put your faith and trust and confidence in God, faith really doesn't do you much good. And I would imagine among all those that may be listening today, there's different levels of faith, different levels of what we really believe and what we really hold on to. And the core of our outlook, our worldview. But this chair, until I sit down in it, is not really going to help me at all. But it's when I sit down, and I know if you're on the phone today, you can't see what I'm doing, but I just sat down in the chair. I put my total dependence on this chair. If this chair falls apart, I'm going to go crash into the floor. But it didn't. And in the same way, when you have an opportunity to trust God and put your faith in Him, then something happens in your life. Something happens in your experience, in your heart, in your worldview and how you look at things. When you put your trust in God, things change. And for Rahab the harlot, something changed when she put her trust in God. When she said in her heart, and again, we don't have all the details, but we have a lot of them. But when she said in her heart, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below," she was saying, "I am believing, I am trusting, I am going to depend on who God is." That's a beautiful part of this story. She had heard of the power of God, and she had heard of the protection of God. And now she was sitting down in the chair in faith. "The Lord, your God, is God in heaven and on earth below." She demonstrated faith. You might say of Rahab, she demonstrated far more faith than most of the Israelites. You know, that God had brought out of Egypt and parted the Red Sea and brought them through and fed them for 40 years in the wilderness. Still, so many of them did not even trust God. Here is Rahab. She hears about the God of Israel. I mean, this is pretty neat about her character to me. She hears about the God of Israel. She weighs it in her heart and she says, "I'm going to trust in that God." I wonder if God's given us enough to trust Him. Has God given us enough to believe that He's who He says He is, to give us strength and confidence, certainly during these times of the virus and in everything in her life? Rahab did not let her past. She didn't live in her past. She didn't live stuck, whatever it was, in her past, in her problems. She was responding to God when He gave her the opportunity. I hope today that every one of us will realize that God is giving us an opportunity, that He's reaching out to us with His grace. And so we find she's even, this Rahab the harlot is listed in the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. She's listed along with some incredible people that are found there. This is what it says: by faith. And it even says the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. That's a little bit of the description in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. God saw that she responded by faith, and God honored that. God did not hold a picture of Rahab out that kept Him from accepting her when she responded to Him. That's a beautiful part of the story. And because of that, her whole family was saved. Her mother and her father, the scriptures say, her brothers and sisters and all their families, nieces and nephews, because this woman, Rahab, was willing to open her heart to the power of God. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, she's listed along with people like Abraham and Noah and Joseph and Moses and all these people that we think of, wow, they're powerful people in the Bible. They must have been incredible. You know, maybe they were in some ways. But along with them is listed Rahab the prostitute. Faith is powerful. Faith is important. Faith is what God wants us to have. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without believing God and holding on to Him, then we can't be pleasing to God. And Rahab is an example of that. What a beautiful picture. She had faith. Then she obeyed. And she did what she was told to do. First of all, she protected the spies. And far as we know, she wasn't told to do that. She knew it was the right thing based on her believing and trusting God. But then she let the spies down the wall and they escaped the city. And they told her before they left the city, Rahab, this is what's going to happen. God's going to destroy this city. Everybody in the city is going to be killed except you and your family, if you will do what we tell you to do. We want you to take a red cord and we want you to hang it out your window. And when the day of judgment comes, the Israelites will see the red cord. What a reminder of two things, really. In the Old Testament, the Passover door and the blood on the door, and then the cross of Jesus and his blood that spilled. And they said, Rahab, if you take a red cord and you put it out your window, when the day of judgment comes, you and your family will be saved. And that's exactly what happens in chapter 6 when the judgment upon Israelite comes. But I want to say to you today that this story of faith and this story of this incredible response of this very unlikely woman, it's not the end of the story. You might think, wow, well, God really found somebody that was out there and saved them, and that's great. But I just want to tell you, this story has some more to it, and it's pretty neat. Though we don't know all the details, we do know that Rahab, when she came out of the city, finally, of Jericho, I don't know where she went, whether it was in the area of Jerusalem or somewhere else, I don't know. But somewhere along the way, Rahab meets and marries, of all things, a descendant of Abraham. Through the line of Isaac and Jacob and Judah. The man's name was Salmon. S-A-L-M-O-N. I don't know how that happened. This Canaanite prostitute delivered by the miracle of God. How she gets together with Salmon, the ninth generation great-grandson of Abraham. But she becomes his wife. And then she becomes a mother. Rahab the prostitute, redeemed by God's power, becomes the mother of Boaz. Wow. God can take anybody anywhere and redeem them and change them. We don't know that much about Rahab, but we do know that God took this woman and he changed her life. And there's story after story in the Bible of people that God has taken where they're at. And he's called to them. And when they respond to him, he has redeemed them. That's really what this story is about to me. The redeeming power of God. There might be somebody that's listening to this message today, and you feel like your life has been a wreck. And you wonder, can God do anything with me? I just want to say to you, the same God that spoke to Rahab speaks to every one of us. Those that are here this morning in person, those that are on the phone, those that are on Zoom, those that are on Facebook, those that are on the platform, those that are in the sound room. It's the same God, and he speaks to us and calls us. And we have the privilege to respond by faith. That's what Rahab did. That's incredible. God allowed her to become the mother of Boaz. God opened the door. Now Rahab's a mother of Boaz. And somewhere along the way, I think from the overall tenor of the scripture, we can say of Rahab that God used her to instill character in this baby Boaz. I don't know about Salmon and everybody else. I'm not saying it was only Rahab, but obviously God used Rahab as a mother. Did you know what happened with Boaz? He grows up. Apparently he has God in his heart and the right thing to do. And so when the widow Ruth comes along, he does the right thing and he marries her. And then they have a baby. His name is Obed. And then Obed later on has a baby and his name is Jesse. Then Jesse has 7 sons. And one of them is named David. And he becomes the king of Israel. And here Rahab takes her place. Whoever she was, whoever she is, whatever she became, she takes her place in the genealogy of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 lists Rahab. God is able to take anyone and restore them if they'll respond by faith. Isn't it amazing how God can transform a life? Rahab's story is like that to me. Rahab the harlot becomes Rahab the mother of Boaz because she responded by faith. I'll say to all of us today, and especially because it's Mother's Day, say to you mothers how precious your faith is when you pass that along to your children. How important it is to know that that part of you is so important that they see in you a faith and a belief and trusting God. That example is powerful. When we call out to God and we respond in faith, He will reward us. It's amazing what God can do. So today in your life, maybe you need to respond. It's time to respond to that which you've heard about God and say, yes, the God of Israel is my God too. Rahab made that choice and that decision. And she becomes the great-great-grandmother of King David. What an amazing story. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the story of Rahab. We thank you, God, for what we can read in it and hear from it. And God, that your Holy Spirit can apply to us. Maybe for my neighbor, it'll be different than what I sense. And for the next guy, God, you speak truth like that in our hearts and our lives because you're a God that does go in front of us. Your prevenient grace. Lord God, your grace that goes ahead of us to draw us, it certainly was there for Rahab. And we thank you for that story today. I pray, God, that we would step out in faith. God, that we would choose faith. God, when maybe we would give up or think it's not possible or think God's not listening, that we would see that there's a God in heaven who speaks to each one of us, I pray. Thank you for this day. Thank you for mothers. Thank you for all that we have to be thankful for. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. I'm so glad that you could join us. In person. Again, we have about 15 people here in the sanctuary, and we could have a few more next week if you want to come. If you'll call me, I'll again do a list, and we're glad that you're here. Thank you. It's great to preach to actual faces out there a little bit, and I'm glad that you're here today, and then as well as those on Zoom and those that are on other means, I'm glad that you're here. Thank you for being here. I hope you have a great day. We're going to close the broadcast and then have an opportunity for anyone who wants to share anything or to talk for a couple of minutes for us to do that. So thank you out there. God bless. Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.